Darlene Marzari feature intro coming down in a few seconds. Please note that there is an introduction to this if you are not airing this with Ian hosting. In fact, Ian, if you're not... Oh, never mind. You know what I mean? There is an intro script for this. Otherwise, the beginning will make no sense whatsoever. And coming down in about 3, 2, and 1. According to Marzari, the word in Victoria this week has the election being called on the 23rd of September, giving the province an October election campaign. That campaign, Marzari predicts, will be 28 days of hard-fought electioneering, with the outcome too close to call. But with her party 5 points up in the polls and being the opposition incumbent in this riding, she has some cause for optimism. Also working in her favor at this stage are some attractive-sounding campaign promises, as she was eager to tell me when we spoke recently.
The first thing we'll do is freeze tuitions as a symbolic gesture to those students who cannot afford university or post-secondary education and who have protested against the rapid increase of tuitions over the last 5 years. We'll be looking at accessibility. We'll be looking at students who traditionally have been cut out of universities, for example, young parents, very often single parents, very often women who simply have not had access to post-secondary education for one reason or another. And we'll be taking a look at the expansion of post-secondary operations throughout the province, most notably the University of the North and the expansion of the community colleges into what could be a very exciting arts program in third and fourth year towards degree granting. At UBC, we're particularly interested in making sure that UBC is stabilized and continues its standards of excellence, but we want to also ensure that kids have an opportunity to really get a quality education in undergraduate level as well as graduate level.
The tuition freezes has been a long-standing thing which the NDP has forwarded as an election platform. The Ontario government, as I'm sure you're aware, said that they would do that, and then when they got in the last election, have now decided for an 8% cap. You think there's a danger that once you get in, you'll realize that, well, maybe an 8% cap would be more suitable at the time, or do you think that you can really come through with that?
I think that's something that we can come through with. I think that it's more than just the money. It's also the principle. It's a gesture of faith towards students and young people in this province that post-secondary is something that we expect them to get, not something that we expect them to grovel for or feel privileged to get. We have to view post-secondary education as an investment in this province rather than a special token for a privileged few. So that is a platform where we have actually taken a stand. Many of our policies in the NDP, as we have looked at the potential budget that we might face and the restrictions and the deficits that we might face as a result of years of mismanagement and corruption in the existing government, many of our policies we are not going to make great promises on. There's no way in which we want to come out with promises that we cannot meet. The tuition freeze is one that we can meet and that we're prepared to stick by.
You mentioned earlier that you were going to make special emphasis on students who at the moment are having a difficult time with access to post-secondary education. And you mentioned single parents, specifically women. Do you have any initiatives in that area for increased daycare and that sort of thing? I mean, that's something which has been lacking up until now, many people have said.
Absolutely. There are 300,000 children in this province that need child care. And the university campuses, particularly at UBC, where there's a growing number of postgraduate students, there is a desperate need. We have an exquisite daycare system on this campus, and it has to be expanded. We have to find facilities and create facilities wherever we conceivably can, in the residences, adjacent to the Graduate Student Center, adjacent to the faculty club. We have to find places on this campus where we can consider the family as an integral part of what goes on here. So the physical accessibility is not the only issue. There's also the issue of financial accessibility. For 20 years now, the provincial government has said that two parent families who happen to be students are not both eligible for subsidy. Now, this basically tells one parent in a double parent family that they must quit school and go back to work. This has happened time after time after time. I have heard personally of at least 15 people over the last decade who have had to quit school because the provision for child care was not there for them in an affordable way. That's something we definitely have to end. The day after the election, the day that it can be, that we can say we have a child care policy, it is inclusive, it is accessible financially and geographic. That is a system that we can look forward to.
Is there anything that you have on the books at the moment to try and work out this week? Especially we've had problems with the student loan program and students lining up for hours to discover that as soon as they get up there, they've got 3% taken off, and then there's more taken off on top of that. Mm-hmm. Are you looking at some way of making the student loan program, or at least that's all part of the accessibility issue. Is there something that you can see that you can do to improve the situation for students to be able to afford to, if not have the money up front, then at least borrow it affordably?
Well, students right now are not just faced with financial setbacks inside the student aid program. The bureaucracy of the student aid program seems to be falling in on itself. The walls seem to be caving in on the whole thing, especially with the postal strike. But added to that, the 3% surcharge tax on your loan. That's abominable. That's just completely outrageous. I'm sure that it's paying some bank fee somewhere down the road, but that students have to fork out that money now as they take out their loan. It's not a gesture of good faith. It's not a gesture of social responsibility. It is completely the antithesis of what the loan program should be about. We've been working for 5 years in my office, and we have had every problem imaginable come across the desk in terms of students not being eligible or being cut off, or, well, obviously the most interesting one right now that we're faced with is that now we're 3 years into this so-called enriched student aid program, and students are now reaching their $30,000 limit, and of course they're not being allowed to borrow more than that, and they are even farther through their education and have more at stake, being in third year or being in post-grad, more at stake in graduating and getting out and starting to pay back. But just at the point where the investment is about to pay off in terms of the human capital that somebody's put into 3 years at university or 5 years at university, just at that point the government decides to cap them and to get them out. This, once again, is just bad management. It basically flies in the face of common sense. It's penny wise, pound foolish. And what we have to do, without making grand promises about hundreds of millions of dollars, what we have to do as a government or as the New Democratic Party is simply say, look, there's going to be rational planning. There's going to be a review. There's going to be consultation with students and administrations, and we are going to find a way, or in the short term and over the long term, to find a system of student aid, grants and loans that people can buy into and count on and rely on, and not end up at the 11th hour being pushed out of school by lack of daycare or a capping of student loan.
Now, in a month and a half time, once the election is over and done with, and you are either elected or not, and if, assuming you're elected, head off to Victoria, are we going to see, how much of Erie we're going to see? How much accessibility is UBC student going to have to their MLA, Darlene Marzari? Are you going to, I mean, at the moment we're standing outside the Student Union building with a table and pamphlets and so on. How much accessibility are we going to be able to have? How accountable can we feel that you're going to be should we elect you?
Well, I am who I am, and I don't think there's an MLA in this province who prides themselves more on being accessible and accountable. I have made that clear since day one of when I first went into city politics. I believe in being available as much as possible. I am a neighbor. I am a friend. I am here. I am in my office. A phone call away. That will be the case no matter what happens. And that is simply the way I choose to operate. That's my bottom line.
Darlene Marzari is the NDP MLA for the riding of Vancouver Point Grey and UBC's political voice in Victoria. A provincial election must be called this fall, and Ms. Marzari has declared her intention to run for the job again. She spoke to me recently outside the Student Union building here at the University of British Columbia. For CITR News, I'm Ian Gunn.